ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 51 स एष भगवान राजन व्यतनोद विहिताम यशः पुरा रुद्रस्य देवस्य मायेनानन्तमायिना सय. प्लीज रिपीट द ट्रांसलेशन. माय डियर किंग युधिष्ठिर, लॉन्ग लॉन्ग अगो इन हिस्ट्री, अ डीमन नोन एज मायादानो, हु वॉज वेरी एक्सपर्ट इन टेक्निकल नॉलेज, reduced the reputation of Lord Shiva. In that situation, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saved Lord Shiva. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shiva is known as Mahadev, the most exalted demigod. Thus, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that although Lord Brahma did not know the glories of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva could have known them. This historical incident proves that Lord Shiva derives power from Lord Krishna, the Parabrahma. Om Ajnana Timiran. I beg blessings from all the present and non-present devotees so that I can, at least for this time, remember Krishna and try to inspire my own self first about the teachings which are based on Prahlad Maharaj's activities. The whole canto is entitled as Science of God, and this particular chapter which we are looking into is Prahlad, the best amongst the exalted devotees, and all of us are aspiring to be devotees or exalted devotees from whatever position we are to move ahead. So in this chapter specifically it is mentioned, the summary states that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narasimha Dev, how he performed his pastimes, and now he is about to disappear from the whole scene where he has blessed Prahlad Maharaj, and now again the other demigods who are present, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, are also going to disappear from the scene, and how Lord Shiva is also going to give benediction to Prahlad Maharaj. So after Narasimha Dev is asking Prahlad Maharaj about what he wants or what kind of benediction he wants, he says, actually I don't want to become a servant who just asked the master for some material benefits. I want to become a real servant who does unmotivational devotional service. But still, considering Prahlad Maharaj's position and his devotion towards him, Narasimha Dev specifically blesses him and says that you will still enjoy the material opulence till the end of your life, and till the end of this Manvantara you can continue here, and then you will get back in Vaikuntha. Later the Lord advised Lord Brahma not to offer benedictions to Asuras as he had to Hiranyakashipu, for such benedictions indulge them, like how they indulge Asuras, different Asuras, Hiranyakashipu, and then how things go from bad to worse, and then he has to personally come and rescue the whole situation. Later Narad Muni is describing in this chapter. The reason I am describing this, because suddenly we might wonder why, what is the reason Lord Shiva is entering into this whole scene of where Prahlad Maharaj is glorified. So Narad Muni now is glorifying telling the glories of Prahlad Maharaj to Yudhishthir, and he says that you are more blessed by the Lord, because the Lord stayed with you, and we saw in last few sessions how the Pandavas were more fortunate to have Lord's personal association as their friend, as their brother, as their nephew, and all such things. So now after that, Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni is also going to tell something about Mayadana, how he had once created some trouble for Lord Shiva, and how Lord Krishna saves him at the last moment by drinking the nectar in the well which Mayadana had created. And that is how the chapter ends. So I will not, because it is mentioned in this shloka that Mayadana is supposed to create some trouble. And what is, how does he create that trouble? That whole story is a part of the next Bhagavatam classes. So I cannot go into that, otherwise the next Bhagavatam classes will be disturbed. So now we'll have to see about two, three things which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada mention in this purport. The first thing is mentioned about is Maya Dana's expertise in technical matters. It is mentioned in various Vedic literatures that Maya Dana is the architect of demons and asuras, and he also constructed many things for some of the devas or the gods, demigods. So we'll see how, what kind of technical expertise he possesses and how they are kind of hindrances. And even after having this kind of technical and material opulence, what happens to him? Further, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that although Lord Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva could have known them. There is no further explanation, but this is the statement that maybe Brahma didn't know. So we'll try and understand through different scriptural injunctions how this thing will work, that sometimes Brahma doesn't understand the position of Krishna or Vishnu, and how does Lord Shiva understand, or even if he doesn't understand sometimes, how Lord Krishna rescues him in that, in any situation where he lands up into. Then the third thing which we can actually see is Lord Shiva derives power from Lord Krishna. And then there are various misunderstandings or understandings which can be evaluated through different scriptural injunctions. How does this happen? Like some people would say that Shiva is supreme, some people would say Krishna is supreme, some people would say they come from each other, they are the same. And this kind of things will go on. So there are some of our acharyas have put an end to this particular discussion, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baldev Vidyabhushan, and Bhakti Vinod Thakur have actually made it clear through their writings what exactly they mean by saying that how Lord Shiva is non-different than Lord Krishna, at the same time how is he same, or he is non-different also, as an entity he is different. And when we are trying to understand this, it's not an easy subject matter. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his writing many times write about this specific issues, that it's very difficult to understand these topics. And you cannot give mundane examples or material examples or examples from this world to understand spiritual things. That's what he keeps on repeating. He gives an example. Like yesterday we heard few examples from Nityanand Prabhu about what is Vastu and then how it gets transformed and things like that. But still, there is a limit to it. If somebody is adamant and doesn't want a finite answer, he can argue and keep on arguing about those things. And things can go on. Similarly, Kunti Maharani is praying, Namaste Purusham Twadyam, Ishwara Prakrute Param, Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam, Antar Bahir Avastitam. O Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you because you are the original personality and are unaffected by the qualities of material world. You are existing both within and without everything, yet you are invisible to all. And then the wonderful shloka comes, is about Maya Javanika Achannam Adnya Adhokshaja Avyayam Na Drushya Se Mudha Drusha Nato Natyo Dharoyatha. Like Maya Javanika, like the Maya is creating a curtain which is Achannam, it is very nicely covered, is very nicely covering the whole thing. For whom? Adnya, those who are ignorant. Adhokshajam. Adhokshajam is again beyond the senses and avyayam, beyond the irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluded energy. Na lakshase. And how is this happening? Just like we might sometimes feel that the actor who is playing the role is the actual person. If somebody is playing a drama of a Ravana, and if we actually consider him Ravana and attack him, then that will be a big problem. So he's mentioning about that your activities are similar to this stage drama or identifying a particular actor. So how will we understand? And that too as a stri or as a woman. So similarly, now here we are in this shloka, we are specifically thinking about how Lord Brahma is trying to understand Krishna and how Lord Shiva is trying to understand Krishna. So what is our position in their regard? Because both of them are acharyas of two different sampradayas of our Vaishnavism. The third thing which Kunti Maharani then says is Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katham Paschema Histiya. You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we, women, know you perfectly? So now we will see how it was difficult that we have understood. So even by giving or evaluating certain examples from scriptures, may not even help us at certain times. But there Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, then finally we'll have to accept Vedic authority. Otherwise we'll be in trouble. So just considering Maya Dano's expertise in various technical subjects. Yesterday Madhavendra Puri Prabhu told me some story from Mahabharata, which actually explains the whole thing, how Mayadana came into the life of Pandavas. Both of them, like, once it so happened that Arjuna and Krishna were in Pandavas' kingdom, and Arjuna suggested, "Oh Krishna, the days are hot, let us go for some time to the banks of the Yamuna. We have constructed many fine pleasure houses there." Please forgive me if some of you don't like my reading from the textbook, because I would specifically like to read from such text, because then they will portray the real scene about where we are actually heading towards. And my paraphrasing them will not help you visualize the whole scene. Whereas Krishna Dharma Prabhu or Bhaktivinoda Thakur in their own words can help us better. So then, as it is, Krishna agreed to his proposal and then they set off. They soon arrived at a charming spot amid groves of tall trees. High white mansions stood along the river banks, looking like a city of gods. Krishna and Arjuna entered one of the houses where they were served varieties of exquisitely flavored foods and drinks. This is how the whole scene is described. And then they see, when they are sitting on one of the benches made from the ivory thing, they see one Brahmana who is very gold effulgent, dressed in white dhoti, but his hair are yellow and his beard is also yellow. So just by seeing that Brahmana, because both of them are Kshatriyas, they get a as per the etiquette says, and they ask, how can I serve you? The Brahmana says, you can serve me because I am very hungry and I want to eat, and but my hunger is a different kind of hunger. I need to actually have all this forest as my food, this kind of forest. Then he gives various quote references from other senior demigods like Brahma, that he says that Brahma has also said that there are many impious or demons living in this kind of forest. So it is not a bad idea to kill them also along with while I have all this forest as my food. Then they ask, why are you so hungry? Why do you want to eat this whole forest? They say that, then he says that a king named Svetaki, when he was performing some certain yajna, had offered me too much ghee, and I have too much ghee. And Lord Brahma had suggested that there are certain herbs in this kind of forest, and if you eat those herbs, then my stomach will be normal. So now, because they have to satisfy the need of this Brahmana, they start attacking or they start planning how they can help the Brahmana to have this whole forest as his meal. But there is one difficulty in this, that there is a Naga called Takshaka who is living in this kind of forest and who is friend of Indra. So now, up till now, whenever Agnidev had tried to actually eat this whole forest, Indra used to pour torrents of rains and actually fail whatever attempts Agnidev used to try. So Arjuna says that I don't have any weapons as of now. You will have to arrange for the relevant weapons. So he comes, so he invokes Varundev, and Varundev from the bottom of the ocean brings out Gandiva, who is compared to a Gandiva bow, which is compared to like a rainbow, and it is so powerful, and all the descriptions are there. And he also comes up with that same chariot which is supposed to be used in the Kurukshetra war. So now the scene is set. Agnidev is starting to devour the whole forest, and suddenly Indra also realizes that this is a problem, and his friend Takshaka would get into problem. But coincidentally, Takshaka is not there in that forest. He is somewhere outside, but his wife and his son are both there. And as soon as Arjuna sees that Naga lady, he shoots her and she is killed. Somehow Indra creates an illusion and the Naga son escapes from that scene, and he goes somewhere else. But the scene is going on, other demons are getting killed. But suddenly Mayadana is getting attacked through Arjuna, because now Indra's enemy has also failed to stop Krishna and Arjuna both from attacking the whole forest. Now the whole scene is, Mayadana says that suddenly catches hold of Arjuna's lotus feet and says that, please save me from the anger of Krishna, and please save me from this hunger of Agnidev. You are the only one. And now, as Arjuna is a Kshatriya, he has to actually save whoever takes shelter of him. So now he is in a dilemma, but still Krishna agrees to this whole plan, and they forgive Mayadana. Agnidev also is happy by eating rest of the things except for Mayadana. And now Mayadana is asking, what can I do for you? To Arjuna, he says, I am a Kshatriya, I never did this to get something in return from you. But still Mayadana is insisting. But now, as Mayadana is insisting, Arjuna also, being a devotee, doesn't want to like let him down or something. he says, okay, I will be pleased if you please Krishna. And then Krishna says, okay, I will be pleased if you please my devotees. That is, if you build a big palatial house, which will have no comparison in this three worlds for Yudhishthira Maharaj. So now, Maya Danava is planning to have his whole hall being the celestial hall for Yudhishthira Maharaj. And now the description is there about Maya Danava, how he plans this whole thing. He has to get certain things which he has kept in Himalayas. One of the things is assorted diamonds which are even not polished, which are lying in abundance where he has stored in some of his storehouses. At the same time, some gada which he later gives to Bhima. So it is mentioned about, we'll specifically focus because he's kind of very expert as an architect. And then we'll see how this technical knowledge also becomes a hindrance, what Prabhupada has to say about this technical knowledge or technical expertise in architecture and Maya or mystic powers which all of them possess. Here it is mentioned in Mahabharata that after few days Krishna left Maya, having completed all his designs and plans, began his actual construction. On an auspicious day marked by favorable stars, the Asura measured out a piece of land 5,000 cubits square. Before commencing work, he distributed charity to thousands of Brahmins. Imagine, this is Asura doing all this. He arranged for them to be fed with the finest of foods and gave them wealth, invoking their blessings before he began. Maya then erected thousands of golden pillars upon which he constructed a splendorous assembly hall. After 14 months, the hall was completed. It appeared like a mass of new clouds rising in the sky, and its celestial effulgence seemed to darken the sun's rays. It was spacious, cool, delightful, and filled with wealth. With its golden walls and archways inlaid with celestial gems, and its crystal stairways worked with coral, the hall surpassed even the Yadu's Sudharma hall. In its center was a beautiful artificial pond filled with lotuses and lilies whose stalks were made of brilliant gems, and with other flowers and leaves made of gold and silver. On its clear waters, there were also real lotuses in full blossom. Swans, karandavas, and chakravarkas swam about on its surface, and golden-colored turtles played on its bottom. The sides of the pond were set with costly marble slabs, studded with pearls, and all around it were celestial flowers shivering in a gentle breeze. The hall was adorned with gardens full of ever-blossoming trees, and the air was filled with a delicious fragrance that mixed with the scent of the lotuses of the lake. Maya arranged for 8,000 powerful rakshasas. Not only he is designing all these things, but he is arranging for certain rakshasas known as kinkaras to guard that hall. Keeping themselves invisible, the well-armed rakshasas, who have massive bodies and fearful faces, arrow-shaped ears and blood-red eyes, tainted themselves all around the hall, ever alert to danger. The Asura then reported to Yudhishthir that the hall was ready for occupation. So imagine if what will happen if nowadays architects will have to also think of all these things. Yudhishthira considered all such things, but finally, when there are various sages who are in his court now, Narada is asking him, O king, is your wealth being spent properly for the protection of the people? Is your mind fixed in virtue? Are you enjoying the pleasures of life? I trust that you do not sacrifice religion for the sake of profit, nor profit for the sake of religion, nor indeed both religion and profit for the sake of pleasure, which easily tempts men. So, see the kind of relationship which Narad Muni has, or Narad Rishi has with Yudhishthir Maharaj, he is directly coming and saying, are you misusing this whole facility which is provided for the protection or for the service of the whole population of your kingdom? And then Narad Muni says, yes, what you are saying is very correct. O great sage, you have asked me if my study of scripture, my wealth and my marriage are all successful. So then Narad Muni says, scriptural knowledge is successful when it results in humility and good conduct. Wealth is successful when it is both enjoyed and given away in charity. Later, Prabhupada also writes in various purports of related to Maya Dana that how Duryodhan was also illusioned by this celestial hall, how he fumbles and stumbles on various different things, thinking it to be a different thing. Like he thinks that this is a doorway, but it is a wall. And sometimes he thinks that this is a lake and tries to go pass by that lake. Sometimes he thinks this is a nice floor, but it is a lake, and then he falls down in that lake. Then the ladies and other men in the celestial hall laugh at this, whereas it is mentioned that Yudhishthir Maharaj doesn't laugh at this event. Duryodhan gets angry and he leaves that hall, thinking to take revenge in future. But that is how, like, Maya Dana actually repays in one sense to Arjuna and Pandavas for saving his life during the Khandavan fire. Later it is said that there are various descriptions about how Maya Dana had created different Bila Swarga, that's what imitation heavens it is called. He had constructed many brilliantly decorated cities. There are many wonderful houses, walls, gates, assembly houses, temples, yards and temple compounds. The houses for leaders of these planets are constructed with the most valuable jewels. And then later it is described how even Bala, the son of Maya, had 96 kind of mystic powers. And it is mentioned some so-called yogis and swamis take advantage of this mystic powers to cheat people even today. Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created three kinds of women, which we will not go into because they are nowhere related to Krishna consciousness. They finally make a person fall down from whatever position he is. And then it is mentioned that indeed illusioned and intoxicated by false pride, he thinks himself God, ignoring impending death. Then again Shalva was again one of the kings who wanted to fight Krishna himself during the Rukmini Swayamvar. And Lord Shiva, again as Ashutosh he is, or all as merciful he is, he blesses him to fight against the Yadus at later point of time. So he wanted a floating aeroplane. And Lord Shiva says that you get it done from Maya Dana. The airplane is described as follows. The airplane occupied by Shalva was very mysterious. It was so extraordinary that sometimes many airplanes would appear to be in the sky and sometimes there were apparently none. Sometimes the plane was visible and sometimes not visible, and the warriors of the Yadu dynasty were puzzled about the whereabouts of the peculiar airplane. Sometimes they would see the airplane on the ground, sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes resting on the peak of a hill, and sometimes floating on the water. The wonderful airplane flew in the sky like a whirling firebrand. It was not steady even for a moment. Nowadays it can be compared to UFO and all such things. It is again mentioned that you cannot directly go to even Maya Dana's planets or wherever he stays. So that is the kind of Maya Dana's architectural capacities, which I was recollecting, because maybe if some of you from architecture background had read some novel called as Fountainhead, which Ayn Rand writes. Like, I also had read that and I also wanted to become a similar person, similar to the hero of that Fountainhead, called as Howard Roark, designing new things but in software areas or something. And now the same thing still continues to to be perfection, be a perfectionist like what Maya Dhanav is. But hardly did we realize that what does this fountainhead means? Who is this actually fountainhead? Who is this? What does it mean to become an architect or to become a technocrat, even in worldly sense? Because Maya Dhanav has actually set certain standards which we cannot even achieve in these days. We might imitate certain Pythonons or Gothic architectures or something, even in some of our villages or something, but which look really pathetic. We don't have anything to do with the actual architectures presented by the Western specific artists. So we can understand that how feeble these attempts are in comparison to even some of the divans who had proposed this kind of things. So now this Maya demon is going to do something in terms of Lord Shiva, which I cannot speak now because it's the part of next Bhagavatam classes. Further, we can see how do we understand that, what is the relationship between Lord Shiva and Krishna? It is many times like said that who is more superior to him, or who is this, who is that. And that actually pollutes our mind, just because we have this impressions of Mayavad or Asatvad. And it is mentioned that there are different things. Like, for example, there are references given in the scriptures which say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, the supremely merciful Lord, that Krishna, saw that the asuras taking the path of bhakti are worshipping him to get some material pleasures. So he thought that if this continues, then my bhakti will become very cheap. So he has to do something about it. At the same time, this asuras will again trouble the actual suras or the devotees of my own self and make this whole process appear very cheap. So he wanted to do something about it. So he approached Shambhu, that is Mahadev, the lord of the demigods. And he said, O Shambhu, it is not auspicious for this material world if my pure bhakti is taught amongst those who are in the mode of ignorance and whose character is asuric. So he says, you should preach from Shastra and spread Mayavad philosophy in such a way that the asuras become enamored and I remain concealed from them. Those whose character is asuric will leave the path of devotional service and take shelter of Mayavad, and this will give my gentle bhaktas the chance to taste pure devotional service unhindered. And so now, how can Lord Shiva refuse this whole thing? Because he has to do whatever the Supreme Personality of Godhead says. So it is said in Padma Purana again, Tvam aradhya tatho Shambhu grahisyami varanam sada. Vishnu said, O Shambhu, although I am Bhagwan, still I have worshipped different devatas and devis to bewilder the asuras. This is just going on for that single purpose, that he wants to keep devotional service exclusive for his own devotees and doesn't want to make it cheap. Further, in Varapuran, it is mentioned, Esha moham srujami ashu. I am creating the kind of illusion, moha, that will delude the mass of people. O strong-armed Rudra, you also create such a deluding shastra. O mighty-armed one, present fact as falsehood and falsehood as fact. Give prominence to your destructive Rudra form and conceal my eternal original form as Bhagwan. Also, there is mention in one of the scriptures that how Lord Shiva once asked for benediction, that how he should be worshipped more than actual Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord says yes. And that is in connection with this future plan of Lord Vishnu, that he wants this asat philosophy to be spread, because again he wants to keep this intact for his own devotees. Further, it is said, then what are the typical Mayavadi conceptions? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these Mayavadis specifically choose or just pick up certain verses from Vedas, Vedanta Sutras, and find out which are relevant to prove their point and just prove certain things. That this is what, like Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, that everything is Brahma. And so he categorizes them into four sections. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma, all the universe is Brahma. So he says, we don't, like this is what they say, and they say then rest of the thing is Maya, but that which we don't accept. We say that everything is Brahma. In what sense? Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes from Svetashvara Upanishad, and he says, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natasya samas chadhis cha drushyate, parascha shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. The shloka says that none of the activities of Parabrahma, Paramatma are material because none of his senses or his activities are material. So the same principle is used from Vedas, but it is said that, okay, his activities or his form is not material, it's spiritual. Then the second thing which Mayavadis pick up is Prajnanam Brahma. He says the supreme knowledge is Brahma and nothing else is Brahma. But again, the counter argument given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur is from Chandogya Upanishad, where he says, when a steady and sober person attains knowledge of Brahma, he worships him with genuine loving feelings. That doesn't mean that knowledge is Brahma now. After attaining knowledge of Brahma, then he starts having loving relationship with the Supreme. So he says, attaining Brahma is just an intermediate step towards attaining the final goal of Brahma. Then the third argument which they use is Tattvam Asi Shvetaketo. That is again, that you are that. But yes, we are that, but again about what? Therefore he says, he who gains true knowledge eventually attends devotional service to Parabrahma and he is to be known as Brahmana. So yes, he will attain that. Tattvam Asi, that yes, you are that. You are that. Yes, I am Brahma, but I will understand who I am after getting this sufficient knowledge from the parampara, and then to get involved into devotional service after the whole thing, after understanding what is Brahma. And then the fourth thing is about Aham Brahmasmi. I am that Brahma. And then it is again mentioned in Ishopanishad that those who think that they are Brahma, what happens to them? It is mentioned that andhatama pravashanti ye vidyam upasate tato bhuya ivate tamo ya vidyam rataha. Those who are situated in ignorance enter deep darkness, and those who are in knowledge enter deep darkness still, because they consider that this is the ultimate thing, that I am Brahma. And that is how Shankaracharya, or specifically the incarnation, one of the incarnation of Lord Shiva, tries to delude this asuric mentality persons to think that this substandard goal is the final goal of life. Further, it is mentioned that then how does it appear that Lord Krishna seem to worship Lord Vishnu? So there are again two reasons which are given. One of the reasons given is Gauragovinda Maharaj says that first reason is yad yad acharati shrestas. So unless and until Lord Krishna himself shows us that how we have to respect these demigods and specifically Lord Shiva, he has to personally show it by his example. So he says that one has to be very careful in this regard, that if somebody can take this example by saying that Lord Krishna or Lord Ram specifically worshipped Rameshwar, then he becomes, then Lord Shiva becomes the Lord of Ram. So he says, it is not that particular case. He said, Lord Ram had also worshipped ocean. So does that mean ocean also is superior to Lord Krishna or Ram? No, that doesn't mean that. He's showing us for our own example. He's showing us as one of the leaders. And then the second point he says is, I also like to worship myself. And that is, and because he says, I want to set an example, because people should worship the right person. And who is the right person? Myself and my incarnations are the perfect persons who are supposed to be worshipped. So here he says, I put forth an example in front of the normal populace to see how I worship even my own self. Otherwise people will think, because a contradictory example which we always hear, that maybe sometimes in Gopinath Prabhu's classes, that there was a person who in the people he knew, he used to think that he is God, and finally nobody else believed that. So who will perform his aarti? So he used to take up the whole aarti paraphernalia, stand in front of the mirror and perform his own aarti. But that is not a case in this regard. That why specifically? Because both Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Baldev Vidyabhushan are specifically saying about this, that how Krishna wants this to be done, that how he is setting an example. Finally, Lord Brahma is also making an interesting point, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur pointed out, that later the Lord advised Lord Brahman, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Lord Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva could have known them. So this thing is specifically addressed in Brihad Bhagavatamrut. Sanatana Goswami, in first volume, 8th chapter, he says about these two things, that how Lord Brahma is also thinking that whenever he does something, Krishna chastises him or says something not very pleasing to him. But whenever Lord Shiva also does similar kind of activities, but still Lord Vishnu forgives that, or even says encouraging words to Lord Shiva. Why is this so? Because there are different relationships. So he says, Brahma points out that although Narsingdev had rebuked him, the Supreme Lord did not treat Lord Shiva's offenses the same way. Instead, responding to Lord Shiva's remorse, the Lord generally tried to encourage him, saying that, for example, about Vrukrasur. If we take the example of Vrukrasur, we see how Lord Shiva gave him that benediction and how Lord Vishnu had to intervene, take a form of Brahmana and again fool that particular demon. But at the end of that, see the encouraging words which Lord Vishnu uses for to address Lord Shiva. He says, just see, O Mahadev, my Lord, how this wicked man has been killed by his own sinful reactions. Indeed, what living being can hope for good fortune if he offends exalted saints? What to speak of offending the Lord and spiritual master of the universe like you? So he's saying that. That is how he encourages. So Lord Brahma is also thinking, why me? Why me again? Like, why, whenever I do something, why does he catch me immediately? And then in final, if we see what the conclusions are of all these things, it is mentioned that one who sees differences between any of Lord Shiva's qualities and names of those of Sri Vishnu is an antagonist to Harinam. That is what is considered in relation to the second offense of against the holy name. So if we consider all these things, we'll have to consider that Lord Shiva is none other than Lord Vishnu, but he is still different. He maintains his, like the example of milk and yogurt. Like, is yogurt milk? Yes. And is yogurt milk? No. Because it has changed its form into certain different things. So then we can go into the details of how many gunas the Supreme Personality of Godhead has, then how many gunas Lord Shiva has, how many gunas Lord Brahma has, how many gunas Jiva has. And then there are various misconceptions about this, about the change of this. What is the vastu, the original thing? Vastu, that means a finite thing. And how it doesn't have any vikar or any transformation. So unless and until we understand this, we'll not... So that's the reason Prabhupada says in one of the things which we all can think upon. He says that even Mayadana is always materially happy because he is favored by Lord Shiva. But he cannot achieve spiritual happiness at any time because he remains a demon and he is not taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is what I think we can understand through this Mayadana. Then he is getting defeated by Lord Shiva because of the help of Lord Vishnu. And how Lord Vishnu understands Lord Shiva. How Lord Shiva understands Lord Vishnu. And how both of them have this kind of relationship which we saw in this couple of minutes. So that is what I understood through this purport. I think the time is over. So we'll stop here. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.